Hi, listeners. I'm Andrea Gunning, host of Betrayal. This season on the podcast, we follow Stacey Rutherford, who thought she met her soulmate when she laid eyes on Dr. Justin Rutherford. They fell in love, and it was better than she ever imagined. But this family doctor, beloved father, and treasured husband had dark secrets. He had sworn to do no harm, but would resort to any means necessary to save himself. I'm excited to share this betrayal story with you, and even more excited to tell you that you can get access to all episodes 100% ad-free with an iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. Plus, you'll get access to the next episode 1 week ahead of everyone else, available only to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. And you'll also get access to all episodes from Betrayal Season 1 and Season 2 ad-free as well. So don't wait. Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
And you're here. Thanks for choosing the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Your quest for podcasts of the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained ends here. We invite you to enjoy all our shows we have on this network. And right now, let's start with Strange Things with Joshua P. Warren.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself.
Strange Things with Joshua P. Warren.
I am Joshua P. Warren, and each week on this show, I'll be bringing you brand new mind-blowing content, news, exercises, and weird experiments you can do at home, and a lot more on this edition of the show, Weird Ancient Giants. Now, I have a reason for bringing up this topic. I'm doing some research for a special trip I will be taking soon, and I will get to that later. I've been intimidated by this topic, though, for a long time, because I know when you think about giants, you might say, yeah, okay, there used to be giants, big deal. We had dinosaurs one time, and then they died. What's the big deal? But when you start digging into this topic of ancient giants, you start entering this kind of an almost Mothman-esque scenario where data appears and then disappears and archives go missing. And there are these shadowy figures that are kind of on the outskirts, guarding information. And, honestly, sometimes I'll tell you something about this. I found information that has just vanished, and it's almost like a Mandela effect. You know how like you remember, like I saw something and then you go back to find it again and it's like, oh, this never existed. And I will warn you, if you start researching the Mandela effect and you really get into it, you will go down a rabbit hole that will probably eventually make you insane. So I don't recommend that for the faint of heart. Speaking of which, I'll just bring this up as a side note. I was recently watching the 1941 Universal movie, The Wolfman, with Lon Chaney Jr. And, you know, here I am with Warren watching this whole movie, and I'm waiting to see the famous scene where his face transforms into the Wolfman. And guess what? It never happens. It doesn't exist. His face is never shown transforming into the Wolfman. Now, spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, you do see his face transform from the Wolfman back into a man. But I don't know, I always just
I remember, you know, his face turning into it. Now, I know his face turned into the Wolfman and some sequels, so maybe that's where the confusion comes in. But I don't know. I just figured that that was just another either example of misremembering things or the Mandela effect. Who knows? But you're going to see, as I try to tackle this complex subject of ancient giants, how that these sort of like bizarro mirages and shimmerings sort of occur around the edges of the history when you're trying to figure out what the story is behind these beings. Because people say, oh, we had these remains, these amazing remains, and then you never get to see them anymore. You know, officially, scientifically, they say, historians have proclaimed the tallest man who ever lived was Robert Wadlow. And he was born in Illinois in 1918 and died in 1940 at the age of 22. He was 8 feet, 11.1 inches tall. So looks like for those of you who are not in the U.S., that's about 2.72 meters. And he weighed 439 pounds or 199 kilograms when he died. He had this condition called hypertrophy of his pituitary gland. So he had a bunch of HGH, human growth hormone. They said that when he died, it looked like he was still growing. If he'd lived longer, he may have gotten bigger. And, you know, as you go down like the timeline, they say when he was born, he was just a normal sized baby. And then, at 11 months, when he began to walk, he was 3.5 feet tall. When, let's see, he was 9 years old, he was strong enough to carry his father up the stairs to the second floor. While his father was sitting in a chair, mind you. And he graduated high school in, at the age of 17. And he was 8'3" when he graduated high school. So very interesting guy. He was really strong his whole life. He never was in a wheelchair, but he did use braces for his legs eventually. And so apparently at some point, a brace kind of rubbed his leg the wrong way and it gave him an infection, and he had an autoimmune disorder, and that infection, you know, became a problem where they gave him like a blood transfusion. But anyway, that's how he died. Now, the tallest person alive today is a man in Turkey, and his name is Sultan Kozan, and he was born in 1982 and he is now 39 years old. And he is 8'2.82", which is, they say, 251 centimeters. Again, I'm sorry, I'm a stupid American. I don't know about these metric conversions. But anyway, so same kind of deal. He has like a tumor on his pituitary gland, and he uses crutches to walk. And it's funny because I saw a picture of him the other day. And here he was just standing next to a basketball hoop on the court there. And he's just dropping that basketball right in like it's nothing, you know. But anyway, so that gives you an idea of what we know is possible. All right. So let me begin by telling you that when I was a kid, and I don't know how old I was, but I was pretty little, one of my relatives bought me this nice big hardback copy of Reader's Digest Mysteries of the Unexplained, which I think made a profound impact on my life. And I've got it right here in my hands now. And I came across this story that just really caught my attention and fired up my imagination when I was a kid. Let's see here. It says, okay, now basically what they do in this book is they go back and they find old newspaper reports and kind of reproduce them. And it says here, human skulls with horns were found in a burial mound at Sayre, Bradford County, Pennsylvania, in the 1880s. Except for the horny projections, some 2 inches above the eyebrows, The men to whom these skeletons belonged were anatomically normal, though at 7 feet tall, well above average height. It was estimated they were buried about AD 1200. The find was made by a reputable group of antiquarians, including a Pennsylvania state historian and a dignitary of the Presbyterian Church, and they give the names of all these kind of people, and this was published somewhere, apparently, at least. Well, there was a publication in 1973 that repeated that. Okay, so that's weird. I was like, what? We found 7 foot guys with horns? This is not front page news? And then here's another one from this same book. 7 skeletons were found in a burial mound near Clearwater, Minnesota in 1888. They had double rows of teeth in the upper and lower jaws and had been buried in a sitting position facing the lake. The foreheads were unusually low and sloping with prominent brows. And then this goes on to say, in 1911, miners began to work the rich guano deposits in Lovelock Cave, 22 miles southwest of the Nevada town of Lovelock. They had removed several carloads of guano when they came upon some Indian relics. Soon afterward, a mummy was also found. Reportedly, it was that of a 6.5-foot-tall person with distinctly red hair. According to the legends of the local Paiute Indians, a tribe of red-haired giants, the Sitikas, were once the mortal enemies of the Indians in the area, who had joined forces to drive the redheads out. John T. Reed of Lovelock, a mining engineer, avidly interested in Indian lore, became convinced that the mummy substantiated the Paiute legend, and in the years that followed devoted himself to proving it. Included in his growing file on redheaded giants were descriptions of hair robes once worn by a few Paiutes. The hair was human and of a reddish-brown color. In the meantime, the discoveries at Lovelock had generated interest among archaeologists. Okay, I've heard about this. And you know what? Without reading all the rest of this, the story that you hear when you live here in Nevada, I live in Las Vegas, so that's about a 7-hour drive north of me. I've not been there. I think George Knapp did a nice report about it. And what you find is that people said that, like, a lot of these were giants. They would have double rows of teeth. Sometimes they had 6 fingers and 6 toes. And they're cannibals. They were cannibals. At Lovelock Cave, they said that they would dig a hole, like a deadfall, I guess, and put sharp sticks in there. And when a human would fall in, well, the giants would go over there and they'd pull them out of that hole, and then they'd throw them in a satchel and take them back to the cave and eat them. And finally, the Native Americans, they went over there and lit fires and burned out that cave and burned them all to death. Let me tell you something. This story is going to get weirder and weirder and weirder, but it's time for a break. And I want you to know, like I've told you before, I'm probably going to take a break for the month of December 2022. I'm probably just going to chill out and unpack a lot of stuff in my new house because, you know, I have a lot of work to do. And I have a whole new company that I'm going to be opening up next year that I've been working on for years. But even though I may not be doing a podcast for the holiday, I will be giving away all kinds of free stuff to people who are subscribers to my e-newsletter. Go to joshuapwarren.com, type in your email address there on the homepage, hit submit, and you'll instantly receive some free digital gifts from me right then and there. I am Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network, and I will be right back.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last 1.5 years. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent, telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, beaming into your wormhole brain from my studio in Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, where every day is golden and every night is silver. In the Bible, let's see here, Genesis 6. Chapter 6, verse 4, it says, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were men of old, men of renown. You know, there are so many different translations of the Bible. And we're talking about the Nephilim here, fallen angels, as they are sometimes called. There's more about this in the book of Enoch. Angels who fell from heaven, and apparently they were really, really big. But, you know, here's the thing about the book of Enoch. Right here, I'm looking at the encyclopedia article here, and it says, when it comes to his books, none of the three books of Enoch are considered canonical scripture by the majority of Jewish or Christian bodies. So I don't know. What do you make of that? Ancient documents like that are just almost impossible to truly understand. You just have to piece things together and
have some faith in what you feel is right, what you feel you should believe. But the Bible does, of course, talk about Goliath. And that's one of the most memorable stories from the Bible was when David defeated Goliath. And let's go back and look at that story. He is described in most translations as being 4 cubits and a span, or 6 cubits and a span. And so NC Register here, which is the National Catholic Register, ncregister.com has an article about this. And they said, they took that, this passage, and they sent it to all kinds of different experts. And so one expert said that means he was at least 9 feet 9 inches tall. And then there was another expert that said, if a cubit, the length from the elbow to the tip of the middle finger is about 1.5 feet, and the span, the distance from the thumb to the middle or little finger stretched apart, would be 0.5 cubit, and 6 cubits in a span would equal about 9 feet 9 inches. Okay. And so, but there are other people who think he may have been even taller. So look, what they basically arrived at is that everybody says that according to the Bible, this guy was 8'5" to 10'6". Somewhere in that range. A big man by anybody's standards. And that's interesting, really, when you think about it, because you know how it is when you go into like some old home that was built in the 1800s or even the 1700s and everything looks so small. And you think, man, people were little back then. And you look at their beds and stuff and they seem very little. On the other hand, resources to build a home were also more limited back then. So it's hard to say how you gauge what a quote-unquote giant is, right? But we do have these references that go back that far. And when I was doing all my research, gosh, I don't even know how long ago, probably like almost 20 years ago, into a lot of giant stories like the ones in my neck of the woods, Judicula, the slant-eyed giant. And Judicula Rock is in Cullowhee, North Carolina, which is near Western North Carolina. Well, it's in Western North Carolina. It's near Asheville. And there's a rock with all these weird carvings, these petroglyphs on it. And I was doing a lot of research on that. And everybody said the legend was that there was this big slant-eyed giant with 6 fingers. And he dominated that area, and that was his hunting territory, and that this stone was his marker, you know. And again, it goes back to this idea of a giant of old, often with double rows of teeth, sometimes horns, red hair, 6 fingers, 6 toes. Nobody knows exactly what the markings on Judicula Rock mean. And I have, I guess, like just one possible theory that I've sort of tossed out there about what the markings may mean. If you go to judicularock.com, you can watch a little video that I did about this not too long ago. J-U-D-A-C-U-L-L-A. J-U-D-A-C-U-L-L-A. judicularock.com. You can watch this video and see. But I'm bringing this up because I started looking into Judicula Rock and the stories about these giants. And then I ended up eventually getting a job for a job with the Travel Channel. I was on every episode of a TV series called Paranormal Paparazzi, where I traveled all over the country and did reports at weird places. And one of the places I went was in Georgia, which, of course, is right next to North Carolina, to a place called Track Rock. And Track Rock is located there in, the Brasstown Ranger District of the Chattahoochee National Forest in Georgia. And Track Rock has all these weird petroglyphs on it. And I went to Track Rock and I said, you know what? I don't know who made the marks on Judah Color Rock, and I don't know who made the rocks, who made the markings on Track Rock, but I think the same group of people made these markings on these rocks. They look that similar to me. But when I started trying to figure out more about, you know, like what was happening there, what I found was that, there's no good consensus. And I believe there's a fellow named Scott Walter out there who used to have a show on the History Channel. And, honestly, I probably should have prepared better, but I don't remember what that show was called. But he went to some of these exotic kind of places and he looked into these mysteries and he made a pretty good case for the fact that, the Mayans from Central America may have actually been traveling as far north as Georgia and possibly even North Carolina. And, of course, we can't officially prove that, but I mean, how would you? I mean, what? We didn't have cameras back then, no satellites. I mean, and the Mayans, not only were some of their markings similar to some of the things that we've seen on these rocks, but also, best I recall, there was some clay they discovered from Georgia that was in some of the dyes that these Mayans were using in Central America. So it would not surprise me if there were Mayans traveling that far north back in those days. And the Mayans, they looked scary. They looked monstrous sometimes, you know. They would always, well, they would paint themselves. Sometimes they would grind their teeth to points. And scary looking people. But they were short, turns out. Did you know that? I always thought that Mayans were probably tall just because they look so spooky. And no, the Mayans were short. Some people considered the Mayans to be pygmies of the ancient world. As a matter of fact, the tallest people thousands of years ago were Europeans who are around like, I don't know, the Netherlands and that kind of area. And they were like 6 feet tall, maybe 6'2" even. Thousands of years ago. But the Mayans were like 5 feet, 5'2". So you could almost say, all right, the Mayans came up and the Mayans left a lot of these weird artifacts and carvings and created all these scary stories and because they would decorate themselves in all these bizarre ways. But it doesn't explain the giant part. That's still a mystery. So as I was looking into all this, I came across this story about this place in North Carolina. Now, that's where I'm from. And let's see. It's called Gettysburg. And I'm looking up right now how far that Gettysburg is from Asheville, where I lived at the time. I know it's near Roanoke Rapids. So if you drive from Asheville to Gettysburg, it takes you about 5 hours. So when I was doing a lot of my research, I got together with my buddy Casey Fox, and I've known him since literally we were like, let's see, I think I met him in the first grade, all right? And Casey and I, we decided to take a trip to Gettysburg, and that is because that I came across this really weird article saying that in the 18, I think it was sometime in the 1800s, there were some railroad workers that were near Gettysburg, North Carolina, and they uncovered a chamber with giant human skeletons, and their teeth were supposedly ground to sharp points. But there was no follow-up on what happened to the bodies. So Casey and I, we drove there, and I interviewed everybody in this little town, and I went to the library. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm also going to tell you how you can earn a reward. There is some missing information that I want. Maybe some sleuth out there will be able to finally get it. And then I'll tell you what my special trip is all about. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I'll be right back after these important messages.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is the show where the unusual becomes usual. I found this article somewhere online many years ago, and it talked about these giant skeletons that were found somewhere in Gettysburg, North Carolina. So, and I've talked about this before to some extent on this podcast. I went there with Casey, and the weirdest thing is that there was this lady there, and I think her name was Stevens. And I met with her, and her husband had died years before that, but he was a big collector of fossils in the area. And he had built this whole, like, what do you call it? He built like a fossil covered building on his property. And, his wife, his widow took me and Casey into this. It's almost like a roadside attraction kind of thing, or at least it was back then. And he had discovered gigantic artifacts from the area. I mean, like axe blades and things like that. I can't remember everything, but it was way too big for an average person to wield. And I photographed all that. And then, like I say, we went to the library, and I couldn't find any kind of follow-up information in the library. So after that, I wrote an article about my trip to Gettysburg for Fate magazine. And it was published, and I have a copy of it in my storage unit. And one, I have multiple storage units. You probably know this. I blow a lot of money every month on just storage units. I got to consolidate, and like, that's why I'm always trying to sell stuff. It's like, I have too much stuff. I have one of my storage units in Asheville has got some of my old articles, and I'm sure that that article is there. I don't know where it is. It's buried somewhere deep in the Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse, but since then, I have gone back and I have tried to find that article online. Cannot find it. The one about the railroad workers finding the giant skeletons in Gettysburg, North Carolina. I have tried to find the article that I wrote for Fate magazine, and I cannot find it here online. I do not have a physical copy of it. I contacted Phyllis Galdi, who owns Fate magazine, and said, can you please locate this article that I wrote? And she can't find it. I contacted Vance Pollock, Sherlock Pollock, who also has done work with Fate magazine. And I said, can you find this article? And he couldn't find it either. I'm telling you, I went out there. Okay, let me put it this way. I saw this weird story about these giant remains. Casey and I went out there. I studied everything. I took pictures. I wrote an article about it. It was published nationally. And now it's like none of it exists anymore. I can't find the original article that I read, the newspaper report. And I can't find the article that I published in Fate magazine. So, I tell you what, I'm offering a reward right now. If you are the first person who contacts me and you have either of those things, you can have the original newspaper article from Gettysburg, North Carolina. And it might have been Roanoke Rapids. Let's see. I'm looking at what I do have here. Oops. I have too many windows open here. Well, look, if you have got the original article from Gettysburg, North Carolina, or you have the article about my trip there that I wrote for Fate magazine, and you have a PayPal account, I will send you $100 as a reward. I say PayPal because that just makes it easy for everybody, and people listen to this show all over the world. And, I don't have to deal with like currency exchange and all that. So there's, you know, that's a challenge for you, right? The first person who has either one of those things gets $100 reward. And I look at this type of scenario and I think this is another example of this kind of almost, a Mothman-esque or Mandela effect element to these stories surrounding these ancient giants and the weirdness about who they were and what they were and where are they now. And I've even been contacted by a number of people in my life who have told me that there is a whole unit of individuals out there that are almost like the Men in Black, and their sole mission is to go out and to cover up evidence of these giant beings, perhaps the Nephilim or something like that. That's their whole purpose. Maybe they're like the MIBs from the paratemporal loop hypothesis that I wrote about in The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. It could be, well, like somebody told me, oh, you don't know, the Smithsonian has got their own secret service. And they go out and they swoop in when a truly amazing find is made. And they take that find and they put it in a special warehouse and they go to their biggest donors. Because apparently, the word on the street is the Smithsonian has got huge, huge, super duper rich people that give money every year. And those people, according to the conspiracy theory, get the first pick. So if you find something that's amazing, like let's say you found a dead Bigfoot tomorrow, before you put it out there on public display and you never get a piece of that, you might take it to this weird rich dude and say, hey, if you would like this, let's talk. Let's talk. So there may be this whole underground of shady, bizarre, super rich people who have got the ultimate man cave. You know, it's like you walk in there, or woman cave. I mean, I guess it can go either way. You know what I'm saying? You make friends with them and they're like, hey, let me show you something. Because I have been to people's houses before who have been like, all right, I like you. Let me show you something. And they take you through like a secret passageway. They show you. And you go down there and here's a stuffed Sasquatch. Here's a Nessie. Here's a dead alien. Now, I haven't seen those things, but I'm just saying that's the conspiracy theory that might exist out there. So maybe that's another possible explanation for all this. But anyway, the reward is on the table. So let's take all that and funnel it into the trip that I'm about to take. So here in Nevada, of course, like I told you, we have this place called the Lovelock Cave. Well, it turns out, not far from there in Fallon, Nevada, is a place called the Spirit Cave. And that is where the oldest human mummy ever found in North America was discovered. Think about that. I bet almost none of you probably knew that the oldest human mummy found in North America was found in Spirit Cave in Fallon, Nevada. And this mummy, get a load of this. Are you ready? This mummy was 9,400 years old. Yeah, 9,400 years old. That's crazy, isn't it? Like, you know, people talk about Jesus, like Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. And that seems like an unimaginable amount of time. 9,400 years ago. So that's Spirit Cave. Well, guess what? You know, I own this tour here in Nevada. It's called the Haunted Boulder City Ghost and UFO Tour. And it takes place in Boulder City, Nevada, which is about a 30-minute drive outside of Las Vegas. And one of my guides is a man named Alan, who I guess he's in his 60s, and he's lived in Boulder City for 30 years. And he said, hey, have you ever been to Spirit Mountain? I said, what? He said, yeah, Spirit Mountain. So like an hour from Boulder City, there is this mountain called Spirit Mountain, which according to the Native Americans in that area, I mean, like, you know, the Mojave Indians, the Yuma people, this is the most sacred place in the universe. They say this place called Spirit Mountain, which kind of is a nondescript mountain out there in the middle of the desert. They say this is a portal. This is the place from which all life emerged and to which all life will return. This is the center of all consciousness and mystery and excitement. And there's one spot there in particular that's supposed to be the quintessential spot. When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you about my upcoming trip to Spirit Mountain. And then I want to read some emails. I need to get back to some emails. One guy said that he has discovered a possible new ghost hunting tool that could be a game changer. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I'll be right back.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the final segment of this edition of Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. I'm excited. I want to see if somebody can go out there and get these rewards. Find that old article about the bodies, the giant skeletons from Gettysburg. or even my article from Fate Magazine. But remember, only the first person gets the reward, okay? If 100 of you contact me, well, the first person gets it. So here I am. I'm about to make this trip to Spirit Mountain, of course. And so Lauren, she gets online, and we're actually working on a project that has to do with like old fossils and stuff. You'll learn more about that in the near future. And she just started typing in, you know, information about fossils, and boom, you know, Spirit Mountain here in Nevada, an hour from Boulder City, where I have my tour, it popped up. And so apparently ancient human remains have been found around there as well. And I just can't wait to make this trip to Spirit Mountain. And of course, I'll be going with Lauren and Alan. And I think Jason Sirachi is going to come as well. And we're going to shoot some footage. And boy, I mean, like, this is what keeps me going. You know, going out there and like, what is this going to be like? This is the place where all of these Native Americans say that life originated. It's the most sacred, the holiest place. And there is a holiest of holies at this spot. I'm not going to tell you right now where it is, but Alan knows where it is. So I'm going to go to the holiest of holies. And then I'm going to bring back this free report to you. That's what I do. That's part of my life here. It's just going out there and experiencing the mysterious. And you know what? This is a free show. And I know that most of you listening will never have that opportunity. That's why I do this, so I can bring this back to you. But if you like this show and you want to keep listening to it for free, do me a favor, okay? The holidays are upon us. Buy at least one Christmas gift for somebody you care about at joshuapwarren.com. Go there and click the link to the Curiosity Shop and just buy one thing. You can buy things that are like even $9.95. Just go buy one thing and keep this going. Keep it free. Keep it going forever. So I cannot wait to tell you about what I discover when I go to Spirit Mountain. And that will be coming to you very soon. And given the fact that the oldest mummy in North America was discovered like 7 hours from there, there's no telling. All right, let me squeeze in some emails here. I have just been going on and on. It's so hard to fit all this like giant lore into some kind of special podcast because there's just too much of it. This comes from Scott C. He says, morning, Joshua. He said, I was listening to Jim Harold's Campfire, and a caller detailed a story involving a Ouija board and the lava lamp. As they made contact with a spirit, the lava in the lamp formed a face and morphed into other weird shapes. It got me thinking, well, lava lamps run on electricity and have water, both vessels conducive to ghost hunting. I would love to take a webcam of a lava lamp in the middle of a room known for activity, and then see over the night if there was abnormal movement of the wax slash lava and or a practical application. In theory, would it be easier for a spirit to manifest hot wax and water over trying to materialize or manifest into thin air? I enjoy your show. Keep up the good work. And then he goes on to say he's going to be in Vegas soon if I want to gamble and drink with him and his friends. Well, first off, Scott, thank you for that invitation. I appreciate that immensely. But no, I don't just randomly meet up with people who contact me. You could be a serial killer for all I know, and I'm not going to fall for that old trick. I also don't eat things that are sent to me, from people I don't know, but I'm sure you understand. I'm sure you're a great guy, Scott, seriously. But it is kind of weird how, like, people contact me sometimes and they go, I'm coming to Las Vegas, coming to see you. Where can I meet you? I'm like, I don't care if you're my next door neighbor. You can't just be like, oh, I'm coming. I don't have an open storefront where you can just walk in. Again, thank you, Scott. That's nice of you. Let's get back to your question. It actually would be much, much more difficult to move wax / lava. And that's not to say that there's not something to be learned from that. But the problem is, I think whenever you're looking at wax in this situation, or you're looking at, like fire, like a guy emailed me recently and said, oh, look at these faces that are appearing in this fire. It's just too difficult to separate that from pareidolia. And pareidolia is that tendency for us to be able to interpret things the way we want to see them, a confirmation bias. It's like seeing the man in the moon. So I'm not saying that, like, if a lava lamp were to create some ghoulish, amazing face, you could be like, that's interesting. But still, you can't prove anything that way. But it's fun to play with. Let's see here. This comes to me from, Crystal. She's in California, and she said, I was fascinated to hear about the experience in the letter from a prisoner. I had never heard anyone else talk about that before. I had discovered it a few years ago when becoming lucid in a dream, moved away from the dream, and found myself in a place that seemed like a movie set. I remember thinking, what's this? Looks like a movie set at Universal Studios. And then I woke up. And through the years, it's happened many times. I call them dream sets. I've also become lucid in them sometimes when my spirit team, which she says is like spirit guides and whatnot, have been showing me something or visitations with past loved ones. She says they can freeze you so you can't move and come pick you up like a mannequin and remove you. So she says, it sounds to me like the guy who sent you the letter is putting himself in a deep state of hypnosis and going into one of these dream sets that has a lot going on that is really quite interesting. So if you don't know what she's talking about, you have to go back and listen to one of my recent podcasts where a prisoner wrote me a letter, and he had a message that he wanted me to share with all of you. And that message had to do with the state of mind he was putting himself in to, I think, kind of escape from his prison cell. And I'll let you know, I sent his representative a link to the podcast I did. And if I hear back, I'll let you know what he had to say about that. I guess one last thing I'll leave you with here is, well, one of my mental manners. I was talking to a guy at a parley recently, and he was in Hawaii. And he is a drone master. And I might have mentioned this already, but if so, that's fine. I'll mention it again. He is a drone master, and he said that he was recently in Hawaii, and that when he was in Hawaii, he saw guys fishing with drones. And there are a lot of different ways to do this. You can just send a drone out there attached to your bait. And the drone has a camera, and you can send this thing as far as your line will go. And then you see the fish down there, and then the drone drops the bait and you reel them in. Now, there are people who are doing things that are more, well, things that are outright illegal, like dropping little bombs and stuff. I won't get into that. But do you think that's cool to have a drone that goes out there, sees the fish, and drops the bait no matter how far away they are? Or is that unsportsmanlike? I don't know. Mental manna, my friends. Weird stuff I pick up on that I share with you. All right, I think that's going to do it for this weird show. So now Let us kick back, relax, and let's just decompress and listen together, shall we, to the good fortune tone. That's it for this edition of the show. Follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren. Plus, visit joshuapwarren.com to sign up for my free e-newsletter to receive a free instant gift. And check out the cool stuff in the Curiosity Shop, all at joshuapwarren.com. I have a fun one lined up for you next time, I promise. So please tell all your friends to subscribe to this show and to always remember the golden rule. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon. You've been listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Make sure and check out all our shows on the iHeartRadio app or by going to iHeartRadio.com.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listeners. I'm Andrea Gunning, host of Betrayal. This season on the podcast, we follow Stacey Rutherford, who thought she met her soulmate when she laid eyes on Dr. Justin Rutherford. They fell in love, and it was better than she ever imagined. But this family doctor, beloved father, and treasured husband had dark secrets. He had sworn to do no harm, but would resort to any means necessary to save himself. I'm excited to share this betrayal story with you, and even more excited to tell you that you can get access to all episodes 100% ad-free with an iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. Plus, you'll get access to the next episode 1 week ahead of everyone else, available only to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. And you'll also get access to all episodes from Betrayal Season 1 and Season 2 ad-free as well. So don't wait. Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.